Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
First weekend, full weekend of college football. Nearly in the books. We've got another half to play tonight between LSU and Miami, and then Florida State and Virginia Tech get it on tomorrow. But most of the games are in the books 1 week into the season. And joining me right now to talk about all that is the national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. You can get him on Twitter at OS Matt Mershell. Matt Mershell joining me right now for a few minutes to talk some college football here on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I've got this LSU-Miami game going on in my studio here, and this might be the most shocking, at least thus far, the most shocking development of the weekend is just how LSU is owning Miami. Joe Burrow statistically has not been great tonight, but LSU's run the football like crazy, and I got to imagine that at least the threat of competent quarterback play helps out with that. How dangerous does LSU become if they actually have a quarterback who can throw the football a little bit?
Well, I think they become very dangerous. I mean, that's been the sticking point among this program for the last 4 or 5 years, is they really weren't able to develop a quarterback, and because of that, their offenses seem to become one-dimensional, relying heavily on the running game. Now, they've had great running backs, but, you know, again, without a quarterback, it's kind of tough to win in the SEC. Joe Burrow looks decent tonight, you know, hasn't looked great, but I also think Miami's secondary hasn't done themselves any favors. They've given up huge chunks of yards to him, and they've had really uncharacteristic penalties, so this Miami team is not playing like a team that's a top 10 ranked team.
No, not at all. 27-3 right now is the score. LSU is the game is about a minute or so from going to halftime. We've been talking a lot about Jim Harbaugh tonight, Matt, and if Jim Harbaugh can't get it done at Michigan, then kind of, my rhetorical question is, then who can, just based on his background? How alarmed should Michigan fans be about what happened in South Bend last night?
Well, I think they should be concerned just because of the fact that during the offseason we've heard so much of how the team was going to be different. You know, where they brought in Shea Patterson, you know, the Ole Miss transfer quarterback. Everyone expected the offense to be a little bit more dynamic. We knew the defense was going to be solid. We know they always seem to have a strong defense under Harbaugh, but the offense was the question mark. We expected them to be better. They just look like the same Michigan team that was last year, and that's not a good sign. I mean, you want to see some sort of development, you know, from your position group. I would assume that, you know, this next week they're going to work on a lot of things there. They've got to get Shea Patterson some more time. Their offensive line is very weak. That's not going to help them out. But they've got to do some different things. I think the old pro-style form of offense that Jim Harbaugh has kind of been sticking to, kind of, you know, holding on to a dear life, I think they're going to have to change that a little bit, because I just don't think this Michigan program could survive if they continue to go that way.
Yeah, on the other side, we've been talking so much about Harbaugh, but I think Notre Dame deserves a lot of credit. You know, they lose two linemen to the top 10 in the NFL draft, Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey. They lose Josh Adams, their running back. And yet they go out, and I don't know that they're going to play against a better defense this season than they played against last night against Michigan. What do you think the chances are for Notre Dame possibly making a run to the college football playoff?
I think they're very good. I think what's going to have to really kind of stand out for them is going to have to be the play of Brandon Wimbush. I mean, you know, he started out really hot last year, if you remember. I think Notre Dame went 8-1 under his direction, mm-hmm. but then he struggled. You know, he played against Miami, and he got really kind of banged up on that game, looked really bad. Ian Book came into play for a little bit, and he just never was the same quarterback after that. I think because confidence was really kind of shaken up by that loss. And now we've seen in the offseason he's gotten a little bit better. I think they feel like he's done a better job. He looked good against Michigan. He made good decisions. His teammates responded well. I think as long as he continues to grow and develop like that, I think it's a good sign for Notre Dame, because their defense was just as tough as Michigan's was last night.
Is there a team or two, and I'm joined by Matt Mershell, who is the national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. Is there a team that yesterday, Matt, you went into the day with a certain impression of or thought they're going to be X, and it turned out they were only a fraction of exit. They were a big disappointment, maybe even in a winning effort, a team that you go, wow, that's not what I was expecting to see.
I thought Washington, to be honest with you. I mean, Washington returned a lot of talent. You look at what, you know, they brought Jake Browning back. You know, this is a team that I thought maybe could go into that game, and I know it was close, but I thought they had enough offensive pieces maybe to do more with that. And, you know, they struggled in the red zone. They really couldn't find the end zone at any stretch. This was the Pac-12's biggest hope, you know, going into this season, it seemed to be, for to get a team back into the college football playoff. To have that loss against Auburn, I think that was big. I think that really kind of set them back a little bit. You know, I thought Stanford, you know, I know they won too. And then there's another program. You know, we thought Bryce Love coming into this year with, you know, all this Heisman hype and, you know, he was the leading Heisman the odds makers having the leading Heisman candidate. And he struggled. You know, San Diego State did a really good job of shutting him down. I thought Stanford's offense eventually picked up, but I thought they would be a little bit more, you know, a little bit more dynamic. And those are really the kind of the two that stood out to me right now.
What do you think about the way Nick Saban is handling the quarterback situation in Alabama?
I think he should just name Tua the starter. I mean, you know, we're seeing this whole game where he's trying to protect Jalen Hurts' feelings. I think he doesn't want to, you know, doesn't want it to be public opinion, and he wants to protect Hurts' feelings because, again, this is a guy who went 26-2 as a starter, took him to two, you know, national championship games, won a national title. He's trying to protect him. He knows Tua Tagovailoa is the better quarterback and is really the future of this program, but I think he's trying to protect him. But by doing that, he puts himself in this awkward position that keeps being asked by the media about the quarterback controversy, and then he ended up doing what he did last night, which was, like, you know, snapping at, you know, Maria Taylor, you know, from ESPN after the game when she asked a simple question. Those are the things that are going to continue to haunt him if he doesn't name a starter. Just name Tua the starter and then move on from there.
Last one before I let you go. I think similar to Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, everybody kind of looks at Tom Herman at Texas and says, man, if he can't get it done, and obviously based on a much smaller sample size as a head coach than Harbaugh. Harbaugh has many more pelts on the wall than Herman. But everybody thought Herman, perfect fit at UT. It's still early, but that was not a good sign yesterday, losing to Maryland again. What are your thoughts on Tom Herman in Texas right now?
Yeah, I think Tom Herman all of a sudden really kind of starting to find his seat and warming up a little bit. Listen, when programs start paying your coach $5, $6, $7 million a year, you know, the fan base is expect some results. And I think, yes, last year was a good – you know, intermediate step, you know, to get to a winning record, to get to a bowl game. I think that's something that fans were inspired by. But to come out and play really uninspired, you know, football in the opener against the Maryland team. Now, granted, Maryland, I thought, played, you know, obviously with everything that's going on, they came out with a lot more fire and a lot more passion, and they felt like they, you know, they had nothing to lose, so they went out there and they played like it. But if you're Texas, this isn't how Texas football is used to being seen. I think you've got to play at a different level. I feel like sometimes that instead of attacking, I think Tom Herman's coaching style is more kind of protecting, you know, defending. And I think he needs to kind of switch that up a little bit because this Texas team has too much talent, and you're recruiting the state of Texas really well. If you start losing, eventually you'll lose those recruits to other in-state schools. And then that's just kind of like apparently, you know, spirals into some, you know, bad situation for them. So he needs to do a lot better job than he's done in the last couple of years.
Yeah, this just in, Herman, you know, between now and the first week of October, he's got three of the top 15 schools on his schedule. Now, granted, two of them are at home and one's a neutral against Oklahoma, but he's got a home game against USC in 2 weeks and then TCU to open up the conference the week after that. Tom Herman in Texas could be very easily 2-4 after the OU game.
Yeah, very easily. And, you know, I think one of the things that's going to haunt them, too, is there are going to be questions surrounding this offense. And, you know, they talked about, you know, maybe taking over more of a bigger role, a leadership role when it comes to calling those offensive plays. He may have to do that. He's got two really talented quarterbacks. He needs to go with whatever is going to help him win, and he needs to find a way to do that soon, as you mentioned, because their schedule isn't going to be kind to them in the next couple weeks.
Matt, last one. What do you think happens? I may have even said last one on last question, but I want one more. I want more college football talk with Matt Mershell. Florida State and Virginia Tech tomorrow. What are your expectations for game one of the Willie Taggart era?
I expect Florida State to win this game. I mean, I think they're very excited. You know, Willie Taggart comes into this program. This is his dream job. He's been, you know, the fan base has really embraced him, you know, because of that enthusiasm and that excitement. I look at their offense. It's going to be exciting with this new Gulf Coast offense that Willie has run when he was at USF and at Oregon. I think that kind of fits into what DeAndre Francois, his quarterback, wants to do. I think he'll play at a different level. They've got Cam Akers, who's one of the most talented running backs in the country. I expect with the enthusiasm of the crowd, I expect them to win that game. But I think it's going to be a back-and-forth type of battle.
That is Matt Mershell, Orlando Sentinel. He is the national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. Matt, really appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of this game. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. Enjoy the season, Matt. Appreciate you joining me.
No problem. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.